Sean Patrick Maloney is the congressman from New York's 18th district. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, next door, there's quite a little race going on between Antonio Delgado and John Faso. It's in the next district over. The polls are showing now, some of the polls are showing Delgado actually leading. And I'm wondering whether you're helping out.
Look, I think Antonio Delgado is a huge talent. The guy's a Rhodes Scholar and a Harvard Law graduate, wants to serve his community. He's been working his butt off in that race, doing a great job. You bet I support him. And he's going to go to Washington and provide some accountability to these Washington Republicans who are trying to screw up your health care, who are trying to come after New York and our the way we do taxes, our local property tax and local tax deductions. He's going to stand up to Trump, who's trying to kill important local infrastructure projects. Trying to screw up the way we pay for the opioid epidemic response. That's the expanded Medicaid. Delgado's going to help New York, and you bet I support him. And Faso's been rubber stamping all this stuff that the Republican Congress wants to do, and he's hurting his district.
Okay,
next. And I'm happy to give you some specific examples of that.
Before we do, I have so many things, and we won't be talking again for a little while. So I wanted to ask you about Leader Pelosi and whether she should be elected Speaker. Should you flip the House?
Yeah, look, you know, we're going to have that conversation in November. I think you're going to see a lot of people step forward and offer their skills, and we'll have that. We'll have that healthy family conversation after the November election. I think right now there's no reason for Democrats to be chewing themselves apart on that. I do think that we need to be united and we need to be focused on offering solutions that will really, really help the people we serve. And yeah, it's getting to be time in the Democratic Party where we're going to see a bunch of new faces and a bunch of new leaders, and that's good. But that'll get decided in November. And it's going to depend, frankly, on what kind of results we have in November. So I see all this stuff is counting your chickens before they're hatched. I think everybody ought to get to work and roll up their sleeves and go vote, and we'll have that conversation then.
I know, Sean Patrick Maloney, that you've been very interested in water contamination. How is that battle going?
Well, it's really important. You know, we start with the PCBs in the Hudson River. We've got to chase GE to make sure that they fulfill their responsibilities there. The state of New York, by the way, has been working with me doing some really important work, and I thank the governor for that. It's really important to finish the job. I don't need to tell you that in your part of the Hudson River Valley, especially. I can also tell you that, you know, we have got a real problem with local drinking water contamination in lots of places. We need to have better testing of local water supplies. I've got legislation that would do that for every community under 10,000. We don't do that now. We should. We need to fund the Superfund program so we can finish the cleanup of places like Hopewell Junction, where I've been able to get tens of millions of dollars in Superfund funding to finally get those folks clean water. We're proud of that. That's getting done. But we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do to make sure we understand the effects of PFOAs and PFOSs, these contaminants in drinking water in the human body. We don't know enough about it. I've got a study running on the federal level that'll tell us. It's fundamental, and we need to commit to clean drinking water, and that means municipal water supplies. It means the Hudson River. And it means cleanup of contaminated sites, and I'm working on all of that.
I guess I want to go next to the fight on immigration. I know that, you know, the DACA thing has come up. I know that you've been for it, doing something about people who have arrived here. Is it your sense that it's a hopeless fight or that you're getting somewhere?
No, it's not a hopeless fight because it has to be fixed. And I do think we will make progress on this, particularly if you see Democrats take back the House and or the Senate. You know, we're talking about people who were brought here as children through no fault of their own, who should be accorded legal status and an opportunity to earn citizenship. You know, huge majorities of the American people support that. But the immigration question is broader than that. We also have to absolutely bring some sense to the way agricultural workers work for our farmers, so that our farmers aren't either engaging in criminal activity or being put at an unfair disadvantage or just being put through the ringer on all the bureaucracy they have to go through. We've got to take care of the high-tech workers we need, the H-1B visas, because we want those people here providing their skills to our economy. We absolutely need to get the system cleaned up so that we aren't wasting, you know, billions of dollars on law enforcement, ripping families apart, when we could be channeling those things into productive efforts to bring people into the economy. This is a big problem. It's a big problem for our economy. It's a big problem for the families that are getting ripped apart. You know, we've got still more than 100 kids who have not been reunited with their parents at the border months after the Trump policy of zero tolerance created this terrible catastrophe. And I just recommend to anybody the Inspector General's report from the Department of Homeland Security documenting how reckless and careless that policy was, how many people it hurt. You know, that's kind of nonsense we're doing instead of fixing the problem. We have to keep at it, and I think Democratic control will be a step in the right direction.
We got about 3 minutes, Sean Patrick Maloney. I want to use your time the best I can. I know you've been a fierce advocate for rail safety, and you know, I know you have your ear to the ground on that one. What are we getting somewhere?
Yes, we're getting somewhere. You know, I sponsored legislation that allowed $1 billion to be accessed by the MTA for Metro North and the Long Island Railroad through a low interest financing program. That is being deployed right now to put positive train control on the Metro North trains. We'll get on Long Island Railroad. Look, it can't happen fast enough. We need to also continue to fund grade crossing improvements so that we don't see accidents like the one at Valhalla. You know, there should be no grade crossing accidents. There should be no derailments. We know what the tracks are. They're the same every day. We can stop the trains when they're going too fast. These things only happen because of speed and because of something in the way. We can prevent both of those situations through technology, and we will save lives. And by the way, there's been a mandate to do this for years that has been ignored, and we need to enforce it, and we need to make it real. That's what I've been focused on. We're getting there. We're getting there, but it can't happen fast enough.
Yes, but when will it happen? I think you raised the appropriate caution here. We've known about the positive train control for a long time, and yet it isn't done yet.
Well, there are real deadlines in the law currently for the end of this year. I'm happy to say that Amtrak and Metro North are probably further along than almost any other rail systems, Class 1 rail systems in the Northeast, certainly. So we're better than almost everyone. It is past time for excuses on Metro North and on Amtrak. But I will tell you that they at least have a plan, and they've accessed real funding, and they're getting it done. But I'm watching it, and we're not going to take no for an answer. There are real deadlines and real penalties in the law that kick in at the end of 2018. Those need to be enforced. Because, of course, this isn't just a problem in our own backyard. It's a national problem. And it's a bunch of rail systems that are way behind where they should be. And they need to get held accountable for that.
A lot of your people go into New York City and ride the subways. We only got a minute, but that's quite a mess.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's an example of why we need to invest in our own infrastructure. Plain and simple. I mean, you know, you either pay me now or pay me later. We've got to have a long-term capital plan that is real for systems like the MTA. That includes the New York City subways. Obviously, we're focused a lot on Metro North and the commuter trains we have up here. But it's just part of a larger problem. We should be investing in our own country. We act like we're a poor country sometimes. We're not. We should have a capital budget. We should invest a percentage of GDP over every five-year period in our national infrastructure. And we will create jobs for this generation, but for generations to come. This is something we know to be true, and it's one of the reasons why, frankly, the tax bill that the Republicans pushed was so irresponsible, because it loaded us up with new debt without addressing issues like infrastructure, and God help them if they now claim poverty, when in fact that's the one place where debt would create long-term wealth. We should have integrated infrastructure into our conversations before we did things like, you know, bankrupt ourselves on big tax cuts for the rich. But it's not too late to make good decisions on this. And it's one of the things I can't wait back to go back to Congress and work on.
Let me just say, it's been fun, as always, talking to Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. Sean, we so appreciate your being here, and we look forward to conversations with you in the future. So thanks so much for being with us.